We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Shut up.
Welcome to the Mind Your Own podcast with Aaron Sorensen and Sasha Durkin, where we stick to sports, except when we're not.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mind Your Own podcast. I'm Aaron.
I'm Sasha.
It is officially game week in Nebraska. I know, depending on where you are, what team you root for, maybe you don't even watch football, which is fine. But if you do, it's week zero, which for Nebraska means game week. And I am like having a really hard time adjusting to this. We've done everything virtually for a year. So if anyone asks like how I'm doing, Jacob Padilla, one of my coworkers, summed it up well. He tweeted after the first press conference that we've had in the capacity that we did in almost 2 years, that I walked out and said, I need to get my life together. And that was accurate. I'm still trying.
I don't remember who I ran into the other day, but I was talking about that too. I'm like, just first of all, where did the summer go?
Mm-hmm.
It just disintegrated. And second of all, how are we already here?
And I was trying so hard. I was trying really hard through summer to like appreciate every moment. And it's really true. I don't even have kids, but I know a lot of people with kids use this terminology of the days are long, but the years are short.
Mm-hmm.
That is definitely how it feels, because when you think about the fact that we're only a few months from 2022,
mm-hmm.
The days have been very long over this period of time, but the years have certainly been short somehow.
Like super short. I cannot believe. I feel like, honestly, like 2020, as much stuff as like that happened, like it almost didn't exist, because it seems like it was so long ago. One, it wasn't that long ago, but like 2021 like flew by.
Oh, completely. I don't know what's going on. I will say this has been, I understand we all are like trying to navigate a world that is not normal. I think at this point though, I'm kind of the belief we have to stop saying a new normal, or like, when will things go back to normal?
This is normal now.
This is normal now. And I think adjusting to what life looks like. And I think about it from, okay. So at this point, if we haven't run off people who refuse to get the vaccine, maybe now is the moment. Obviously, Pfizer has full FDA approval. For anyone who's wondering about Moderna, it should probably come within the next month. They applied for that full FDA approval just about a month after Pfizer did. My point with that is it just has been, I think what's been really hard about this year, especially as a member of the media, and I want to just say, like, a lot of times people go, well, you're not media. And I understand what they're trying to say is like, I'm in sports, or I do less, like, maybe because I focus more on features or different things that they see me in a different light. But like the thing that has been really challenging over this last year and a half, and I want to just preface this by, I'm not woe is me. I'm not saying feel bad for me, nothing at all. I'm just saying, as somebody who has a journalism degree, went to school for journalism, works around a lot of incredible journalists, both in sports and beyond, and has pursued this in life, it's really disheartening to have people in so many different layers just hate on the media.
Yeah.
And yes, there is some media that deserves criticism. All media deserves criticism, to be honest and fair. Like, let's be fair. Like, mm-hmm. media deserves criticism just like any job. But there are times where people are so cruel. And the reason I brought up the vaccine piece is it just was like, I retweeted the Nebraska Medical Center. They had shared some information. I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. I shared it out. And the amount of people who quickly wanted to just yell at me about like sticking to sports or mad about which or telling me that like I am uninformed. And it's like, you know, yeah, I'm not an epidemiologist. Mm-hmm. I have not studied this, but I'm trusting the people who have, because this is where they've spent their life. And I feel like everyone is just doing their best and trying to give the most accurate, helpful information. And it's been very disheartening. So when we talk about the last like year and a half, and how,
by the way, like, not to interrupt you, but
you're fine.
I thought a year ago we decided that you can't say stick to sports anymore. I'm pretty sure it was exactly a year ago.
Did you see the photo of if you haven't, I'll link it in this episode. It's so funny. There is a I always want to say San Diego Chargers, but there's a Los Angeles Charger player, and his last name is Stick, and mm-hmm. he's the number two. Oh. So he's literally Stick Two. And so somebody took a screenshot and said sports. It's the best. Whether he intended for that, I'm guessing. Well, I don't know. We should ask him. But yeah, you know, the thing is like, I guess my point is, and I don't want to go on a complete tangent with this, although maybe this is, we've often talked about how the Mind Your Own podcast is like therapy. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, like, I process things by talking through them. So maybe this is just me talking through them with all of you listening in the moment. But when we talk about things like sticking to sports and why we really can't do that anymore, and we'll dive into a little bit of like the people who have disrupted this space in just a moment, but it's just little things like when we ask questions. So for instance, John Cook, Nebraska's volleyball coach, he said, my team is 100% vaccinated. That information gets shared on Twitter, and it's a really bizarre subset of individuals who immediately want to yell, who cares? I don't care about that. And it's like, you know, it's really easy to keep scrolling if you don't care, but it is important, because the Big Ten also just came out and followed suit with all the other conferences that if you are unable to play a game because of COVID-19, if COVID-19 is affecting your team to the point that you are unable to play a game, it cannot be rescheduled. It is a forfeit, and the other team gets a win. John Cook talked about that there's just like, aside from your viewpoint on vaccines, there's a competitive advantage when you are doing what you have to. So like wearing a mask when you're mm-hmm. in an indoor situation, making sure you're not putting yourself in a spot that's like, just, you know, if your whole team is vaccinated, why does that matter? Well, because they don't get tested now. Yeah. Scott Frost even said that the unvaccinated players are the ones that are tested once a week, and they're the ones who trigger things. Mm-hmm. I want to be clear for those of you who are like, well, people who have gotten the vaccine can still get COVID. Absolutely. That's how vaccines work. We have had flu shots. People who have had the flu shot can get the flu. Mm-hmm. I have had the chicken pox shot. I've never actually had chicken pox, but I could still have gotten it. It was possible, but like mm-hmm. the shot would have lessened the symptoms or made it more likely that I don't get it. Or if I do, I recover more quickly.
Exactly.
I'm less likely to spread it. We need to just look at this like a little bit more like,
I feel like
run off people, they're already gone. So
I feel like people get hung up on the term vaccination without truly understanding what a vaccine is.
Yes.
And how they work. Mm-hmm. So like, if you aren't 100% positive, I would just, you know, do a little bit of research.
Well, because, and don't do know, like the research where you're like, I'm going to go Google to like validate my opinion.
Right.
Like, cause you can do that.
you can, but if you don't truly understand how vaccines work and how they operate, like, just do a little bit of research. If it looks like it's too good to be true, it probably is. So probably dig a little deeper. I wish like everyone could be on like vaccine TikTok with me.
Oh,
because there's a number
we're on the same TikTok right now. I love it.
There's a number of doctors and people in the field and scientists that truly do know what they're talking about, that have a really good way of like, I don't like the term layman's terms. Like, I don't know why it bugs me, but like they have a way of making things make
sense. Just simplifying it.
Exactly. Yes. And I wish that everyone was on there, or maybe I should just start sharing them on Twitter.
You know, I just, this last, like when I think about, so for instance, like just sharing the news, like John Cook saying his team is 100% vaccinated, or hey, this is what Scott Frost said about the Big Tens, whatever. And I mean, we've heard now across the board, we're hearing from Alabama, who, good for Alabama. I just want to say, like, good for Alabama. I think they said like 90 some per, let me go actually get the exact amount. They had like a bonkers percentage. I know Nick Saban gave his amount out, and I think he said like one player has yet to be fully vaccinated. I'm like, God help that one player.
Yeah.
I can't, I'll have to go find it. So there was something that I saw. See, I don't like to do that. I'm sorry to everyone. I should have had that, but it just prompted my thinking. The University of Alabama has announced something recently about where they're at with vaccinations. But they're also the same school that has like encouraged people through different messaging. Obviously Nick Saban has been very vocal about getting vaccinated, masking, wearing your mask when you can.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm making this up. Maybe it was something different. Cause I'm not finding something. So maybe I had like a fever dream, to be honest with you all, like nothing makes sense anymore. But with that said, let this be a lesson that like, if you think you remember something, go verify what you're talking about, because I might be close to what I'm talking about, but I don't know specifics. So I don't want to dive into too much, but I do think it's,
I found it.
Did you?
6 days ago, I think, minus one person, the University of Alabama football team has been completely vaccinated per Nick Saban.
That is the football team, but I swear that Alabama. Oh, that
entire athletic.
Yes. I swear somebody, I was like, y'all, yesterday or Monday, so we're recording this on a Tuesday, and Monday was Nebraska's like first day back.
Alabama Athletics announces over 90% vaccination rate.
There it is. So I'm not completely, there it is. I was like, I'm making up just completely not true news. I've also decided I'm not using fake news anymore. I just want to throw that out there. I don't like it. And we're, okay. Sorry to everyone who's like, where is this podcast going? It doesn't matter anymore. We'll get there, but we wanted to talk about strong women in sports. And so we're going to get there through this channel now. There's a song by Lizzo, who I love, and Cardi B called Rumors. And I've been listening to Rumors quite a bit. A lot of feelings about Rumors. I enjoy the song because it's basically them saying like, everything you've heard about me is true, even if it's not, because I just don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care what you say. It does not matter.
And you're going to believe what you want to believe anyway.
Exactly. But there's this one part where Cardi B says the word fake news. Mm-hmm. And it's not, this is not hate on Cardi, but it hit me when I was listening to this song where I was like, I hate that term, because it was a term that was used to basically say that like any news that I don't agree with is fake news.
Right.
It's the same thing as how we incorrectly use clickbait, which we talked about recently. Yep. It is being used as a way to say, I don't like this, so it's not real, or I don't like this, you're just trying to get me to care about it, but I don't like it. And it's like,
or I don't agree with this, so
I don't agree with it.
It's not my opinion. It's fake.
Yeah. I'm saying it's just, I was making up news that was potentially not true, but as Sasha helped verify, I did not have a complete fever dream. I really did read that somewhere. But yeah, it's just, you know, I will give credit to the schools like Lane Kiffin. I will say like props to Lane Kiffin, who's gone out there and not only gotten his team fully vaccinated, but he's also gone out and started speaking very openly about it. He's been on MSNBC. He's gone and done interviews. And, you know, I'm not trying to paint him as this giant hero here, but like my point is, you know, it's tough when you're in a position, especially in states that typically disagree with you, to go out and be so vocal about what you feel. And it's hard because you fear this idea that people are going to, like, quote unquote, cancel you. And then you're, you know, what does your future look like? What is this? And so I give a lot of credit to these coaches who are like, the difference between, like, in my opinion, a Nick Saban and a Lane Kiffin in this world too, is like, Nick Saban is like set. Mm-hmm. That man has won enough games in his life. He's done enough where, like, he can basically say, do whatever he wants. And it's like, you can't tell him.
He's got clout.
He's got the clout. The difference for Lane Kiffin is he doesn't have quite that same level of clout. Yeah. And in fact, Lane Kiffin has had a very tumultuous, like, coaching career to date, but, like, he clearly has decided, again, to go back to this one point, that aside from your feelings about whatever else, there is a competitive advantage now, because the Big Ten, like everybody else, it's a forfeit if you can't play. So if your team is fully vaccinated, it is a level that you don't have to worry about now.
Yep.
It is something where you get to play this season and you don't have to be, you don't have to, you still need to be careful, but like, you don't have to be worried about what the test results are going to say once a week about this. And we all sat and watched NC State and the CWS and how, like, it just, this is not what I wanted to talk about this entire podcast, so we won't, but
it's a good point. I mean, especially just, with, you know,
I didn't realize it was all sitting season. So heavy on me.
I've been thinking quite a bit about it too. So I'm glad that we touched on it, because, I think that it's important to know, especially like, the fact that, I mean, how many players are on a team, how many people, how many players, athletes, and staff are in an entire athletic department. Like, that's super impressive. And to not have to worry as much about potentially having to give up a game because people are sick and could potentially spread, you know, COVID. Mm-hmm. That's super, super impressive. And I hope that people realize how impressive that truly is.
Yeah, it's been, it's going to be interesting. This is week zero for Nebraska. It kind of feels like things are going to, like, hit the fan. Lack of a better word, shit's going to hit the fan. Very quickly. And I'm not just talking for Nebraska. I'm talking, we're going to know very quickly what this season is going to look like. And I'm not even talking from a performance standpoint, just from like what teams are going to be dealing with. So, you know, we'll see.
We'll see.
Well, let's dive into what we actually were going to talk about. And there's actually like two pieces to this. And thank you to Amy, who sent an email and sort of kicked this all off. I really appreciated, just first and foremost, she was talking about our complex feelings episode. And you want to talk about, like, when I say, like, just like kind of the just crap that we read about, like, so there was a tweet I responded to last week that it was like, how long has this week been? Or how many weeks has this week been? And it was not about like sports and like the way I read it was just like, this has been a really long week.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm like, it had been between all the news I was dealing with in my current, in my actual job, to like the news of like everything that was happening and continuing to happen in Afghanistan, to everything with COVID-19. There was just a lot. It's a lot to sit in, like, your mental health takes a toll. And so I had responded and said too many, and this person came along and was immediately like, you know, say that to somebody in Afghanistan. It's like, buddy, I'm with you. Like, part of why I said it's been a long week is because there's just a lot. And it feels like going into this week, I almost feel like I haven't heard as much about what's going on in Afghanistan. It's making me almost feel guilty because, well, no, I do, because I feel like I'm not as like, what am I missing?
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, the reason I say that is, Amy in this shared that if, I haven't had a chance to go listen to it, I need to, but this has been a week old now, but Stephen Colbert had a monologue on Afghanistan. Yeah. He shared that she felt was very good, and just that he was also trying to figure out how to say things as he was thinking about them. And I think that's the thing that like this podcast has taught me. And I hope all of you realize too, is, I say a lot of things on this podcast where I'm like, you know, I hope that ages well, but it may not. And, sometimes just talking through what we're thinking is really, really powerful for ourselves, because it allows us to kind of process those feelings that we're having. And so I just, you know, to start off with what Amy was kind of sharing at the beginning, like, it's not only okay to have complex feelings, but it's okay to talk through them, and it's okay to stumble through them.
Yes.
No one's expecting you to have the answers right off the bat, or maybe ever. No one is.
And I think the undervalued part of what you just said is the fact that it's super important just to talk through any complex thing, because otherwise it can be super difficult to process it on your own in your own brain. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, like you said, having these conversations will help somebody else start a conversation in their own life, or start to process those complex feelings, because there's a lot of shit going on right now. Mm-hmm. A lot.
It's really hard. There's a lot going on in this world. And yeah, so I appreciate, Amy, like, whenever any of you send, like, hey, here's something that I found that has been really interesting, I really appreciated listening to this. Like, please share those, because it makes me feel, I don't know, sometimes it helps me too when it's something that maybe I hadn't seen, and it helps me step outside of my own bubble, if you will. Not that Colbert's not within my bubble. I would say that he probably is. But she had emailed us because we had said that we wanted to talk about, and we are going to talk about, some impactful women in sports, because when we've spent the last few episodes mentioning women like Naomi Osaka, Simone Biles, Serena Williams, Venus Williams, I think about everyone from like Nastia Lukin, when she's incredible too. And like, I just want to throw something out with Nastia as well. So she obviously is an Olympic gold medalist, mm-hmm. She has transitioned into this role for NBC where she does a lot of commentating on gymnastics now. And she loves, and I love, love, love this personally, she loves to just like own the fashion side of it. And the best part of it is, like, in some worlds, like when women show up into spaces like sports and they just bring high fashion into it, people think that they're not serious. Nastia is one of the best. She is one of the best, and she's looking dang good while she does it. And I love her like ability to just bring high fashion into sports, because when we talk about not sticking to sports, like, sports can be anything you want them to be. They can be gym shorts. They can be couture dresses. It does not matter. Athletes can wear whatever they want. Yeah. And I'm so tired of, like, I will say, like, Nastia is part of the group that is like totally changing the game as far as like how people show up. And like, I've had moments, by the way, where I go to the press box and I always view the press box. My Instagram bio even says the sideline is my runway. It's a joke, because I pretty much treat game day as like New York Fashion Week. It is like, what is my best outfit to wear for this week? Not always. There are some times where I'm like, I just need a good pair of track pants. Just a good pair of pants because I'm tired. It's going to be a long day. But like, usually I try to put some like serious effort into it. I have shown up into press boxes where people like don't think I belong there, because they're like, well, you're too dressed up. And it's like, are you serious? Like, come on now. So aside from that, we were going to talk about women and just their impact. And like, I can share it in the show notes, but if there's one woman that I think kind of like stands at the top of like needing to like talk about her, is Billie Jean King. Billie Jean King is incredible. She just recently, and this is why I said I can share, she tweeted, women are conditioned to be grateful for the crumbs. This needs to end, and here's why. Hashtag Monday motivation. And she shared a quick like 10-second video explaining why women should not have to condition themselves to just be grateful for like these little pieces that are handed to them.
Yeah.
Billie Jean King tweets a lot of things that people feel is controversial. And you know what? She doesn't give a shit.
Right.
Her literal bio is sports icon, equality champion. And she absolutely are those two things. She's a sports icon. She's an equality champion. And she is somebody where, I aspire to be more like her. Her inclusivity is paramount. She, like, for instance, has already started tweeting about the Tokyo Paralympics, which we said this a couple weeks ago. If you're missing the Olympics, do not lose that energy. The Paralympics have begun. Yes. But she's already She's already tweeting about the Paralympics today. She's tweeted about the COVID FDA approval with the Pfizer vaccine. Kobe Bryant. I mean, she is just like, she's on top of it all. And I think I just aspire to be more inclusive in my coverage and my worldview and scope as Billie Jean King is, because she is just, she doesn't leave stones unturned. She is constantly looking at every women in sports, people of color in sports. And I really, really appreciate, I'm glad that we have her in this world.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know why I wasn't following her on Twitter before. I don't follow like anybody on Twitter really.
I have also found, by the way, Twitter updated how you follow, like, so the button flipped. It used to be if you were following somebody, it would be a color. And if you weren't, it was white. And now they flip. So if you're following them, I have inadvertently unfollowed people because I thought so I go to their page and I'm like, I thought I was following you. So I click it and I'm like, oh, now I'm unfollowing you. So, just a fun fact for everyone listening, there is a chance that you are unfollowing people. So if you've done that to me, I'm assuming it's not because you hate my takes and because you just accidentally.
Right. It was an accidental one.
Yes.
When we were talking about this, I'm glad that I had like a week to think about it because off the top of my head, one, I couldn't remember her name, but I remember the conversation that was had and always enjoying the way that she covers sports and how she interviews people, Holly Rowe.
Yes.
I had the pleasure a couple of times to have her on one of the shows I was formerly on when I was still doing radio. And she is just she's genuinely kind as a human being. And I was able to reach out directly to her, but instead of just, you know, it being an interview request, she like turned it into like a conversation, like, how are you? What can I expect to cover? And then like started asking me questions about me, which was, I found interesting. So I ended up having to like call her on the phone because she wanted to run through some things, but then she like actually took the time to like try to get to know me. And I was like, at the time, I'm like, I'm just a producer. Like, why does this amazing human being who I've looked up to want to like, why does she care? But and then I don't know, I've just, it was that interaction with her. And then, you know, her openness to talk about her fight with cancer, I think was really inspiring to me. Mm-hmm. And I've just always genuinely really, really enjoyed her and looked up to her. And I think that she's another one of those, you know, folks that is inclusive. And, I mean, she covers things just so well. And I just absolutely adore her.
She and what's incredible for, I really love Holly Rowe as well. In fact, I got like, I've never had the opportunity to meet her, but have seen her like in person from a distance. And like, obviously like you never want to like yell at someone while they're doing their job. Please stop yelling at people, especially on TV when they're just trying to do their jobs. Mm-hmm. But she was just named to the basically ABC ESPN Saturday Night Football commentating team. There was a spot that was left by Maria Taylor when she left for NBC. A lot of people wondered what would that look like for both game day and that primetime game. I will be honest. I hope that game day evaluates how it's run in the sense that I think it's getting a little tired to do the all male commenting like desk team and then have the token woman kind of off to the side is like, now that job has had some incredible women in it. Mm-hmm. You think of like what Sam Ponder has gone on to do.
Yeah.
Obviously Maria Taylor is an absolute queen. But when people were like, does that, you know, could Holly Rowe do that? I'm like, Holly Rowe doesn't need to do that. Like,
nope.
And that's not like at all shitting on that job. I just think that like, I just think that game day should reevaluate its structure is all I'm saying, because a lot of times the only role that women have on that show is in that one spot. And there's no reason that they cannot be at that desk. That is just my point. So, you know, maybe they don't fill that role with anyone. They don't technically need a quote unquote sideline reporter for game day. It's not necessary. I think one of those men sitting at the desk can get their butts up and go out into the crowd if they really have to. Now, maybe y'all are going to say this has already been announced or somebody, I haven't seen anything. So I'm just totally like reacting in that moment. But Holly Rowe is going to be on that Saturday Night Football team this fall. This is her 26th season covering college football for ESPN crazy? And ABC.
She's amazing.
Amazing. This is so, so deserved. And then some. This is a woman who, like you said, has continued to work and fight through cancer. Even when she found out she was no longer in remission, she continued to work. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that like that's what everyone has to do, but I mean, this is just somebody who just tough as nails.
Yeah.
She's incredibly well respected. And she is also a champion for women's sports. Yes. I mean, she has covered everything from the NCAA Women's Final Four, the Women's College World Series, indoor and beach national volleyball national championships. In fact, that's when I saw her was at the volleyball national championship recently. College gymnastics, the WNBA. I love this quote from her. "When they told me, I just started crying because I've been obsessed with college football my entire life. It's a dream come true. And I'm thankful to my bosses for this opportunity." I love that for her. Yeah. I'm so excited to just watch her.
Like, yes.
Go Holly, go. Like,
right.
She kind of like how we talk about like Doris Burke, where like there's the videos of like Katie Nolan, like praising Doris Burke, like all praise, like praise Doris. That's how I feel about Holly Rowe too. Like praise Same. Holly.
Honestly, like I was, you know, I was like going through my, do people even use a Rolodex anymore? If I say that, or am I aging myself? Going through my Rolodex of just like people I've looked up to or taken inspiration from. And like, obviously Doris is like the creme de la creme, but then I was like, who else is like, everybody loves Doris. And I'm not saying that everybody doesn't like Holly, but I was like, who is like up there, but like maybe kind of like undercover, like isn't as highly recognized maybe. And obviously Holly very much is, but I think that when people think of women in sports, maybe her name doesn't pop in their head immediately. And I hope that it does, because she's incredible.
She is. Now, Amy shared a couple with us that I want to read, and I was not completely, I had heard the first name, was not familiar with who she shared as the second name, but I'm so glad to have been basically made aware of her. But we'll start with Kara Goucher. Is I'm totally butchering her name, I'm sorry. I've seen her name before, and I have too. But she's an American long distance runner. She was the 10,000 meter silver medalist at the 2007 World Championships, and then represented the United States in the 2008 Beijing Olympics, as well as the 2012 London Olympics. She's a marathoner. She has run the Boston Marathon. She is a graduate of the University of Colorado at Boulder, or at least attended. I believe she graduated based, I'm looking at her Wikipedia page, but I used to be a subscriber to Runner's World magazine. And I think that's how I've seen her is because of that. But she, I mean, I love badass women runners. In fact, she reminds me a little bit of Bex Gentry. So Bex Gentry is a Peloton instructor, but she's not just a Peloton instructor. She is also a very, very accomplished long distance runner and coach. She competed in the British Olympic trials for this, and just while she missed the trial, or like just missed the like cut to make it to the Olympics, she blew her own personal record out of the water. She's an incredible woman. And so like when I was looking at Kara, like Bex reminds me a lot of her, just really strong, just inspiring women. But this leads me to one more, LaToya Shante Snell. She has a blog that she I was like looking up information about her, and her website and blog is runningfatchef.com. But again, I haven't subscribed to Runner's World in a while, but I'm so glad to see that like the diversity within their pages is clearly growing.
Yeah.
Because they did a feature on LaToya. She is a chef, a writer, photographer, and runner. This is from Runner's World, which I'm happy to link. But she became an advocate for marginalized groups in the running community after she was harassed by a stranger during the 2017 New York City Marathon. But instead of letting that incident prevent her from running, she wrote about the experience and turned it into a source of power. She has since expanded her activism, using her voice to advocate for BIPOC, for the BIPOC community, the queer community, and those living with disabilities. She's really, really, really amazing. I love her. I love her because here's the thing. This is what I love about LaToya. As somebody who, like, I do enjoy running. I'm not... Okay, so Bex Gentry says this a lot. If you're running, you're a runner.
Yep.
But it's really hard for me... Yes. It's really hard for me to sometimes believe that because I often go out running and I don't feel like I look like a runner. I'm like, does my form look okay? And, like, I don't have, like, what is, like, quote-unquote a traditional runner body. You know what I mean? Like, there's just things that I'm super self-conscious about. Yeah. And it's hard because I feel like I get just in my head about, like, am I supposed to be here? LaToya is actively working against those stereotypes in running by saying everyone belongs here because anyone can go out and run. Yes. It doesn't matter how fast you go. It doesn't matter how far you go. If you are putting on a pair of running shoes and you run down the block and back, you are a runner.
You're a runner.
And I love this. Like, I thank you, Amy, for bringing LaToya into my world because I was not previously familiar with her, but I am going to go follow her on Instagram because I'm so glad that she is in this community and she's fighting. I'm sure it's not easy because oftentimes when you are a disruptor, people want to disrupt you.
Yep.
But she is not. She is.
I like that.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I say things on this podcast where I'm like, yep, nailed it. And then there are other times I'm like, ugh. but I love her and I appreciate Amy bringing her into our realm.
I'm really excited to follow her. I just followed her on Twitter, but like, I love a good Instagram follow. Mm-hmm. Like real authentic people that are like, you know, it's not always easy to do anything in this life, but to have that representation and like real people being like fighting for the things that they believe in, but also showing the struggle part of it because it's not always easy. Mm-hmm. And anything like, I love a good run follow just because personally, it helps me because sometimes it's not easy, especially with distance, but I'm very excited about following these two. And I thank our listeners for sending in their favorites.
I'm just reading a little bit more of this Runner's World story. And she was asked basically like, what issues do you hope to address within like your movement, like with what you're trying to do? And she's like, I'm just going to read this one part. She says, I also identify with movements like the fat acceptance movement. It's a little bit more radical, a little bit more punch in your face, where it's basically saying, embrace me for the size that I am. I advocate for health at every size. Sometimes people have conditions that we are not able to see. For instance, I battle endometriosis and I'm at stage 4, which means I am always in pain. The editor's note here is, because there's some of you who may not know what endometriosis is, it's a painful disorder characterized by abnormal tissue growth around the uterus, which results in heavy and irregular periods and sometimes fertility problems. I probably have 3 to 4 days, good days a week where I'm not in excruciating pain. I don't hear enough stories about athletes with visible and invisible disabilities because sometimes we're gaslit. We're told that we are imagining the things that we are going through. And it is so true. I mean, I think about like the amount of times in my life where like, I've just sucked, quote unquote, sucked it up because I'm like, oh, I'm not actually feeling the thing that I am, or I'm not actually in the, or my pain is not as bad as somebody else's. And it's like, your pain, your experience, what you're going through is so unique to you. And that's what, like, it's frustrating to me when people kind of go like, well, it can't be that bad. You're not walking in their shoes. You don't know what they're feeling. Don't do that.
Right. You have no idea what we've said this several times before, but you have no idea what somebody else is going through unless you physically them.
Yes.
Or they say something to you or you know them. So stop assuming shit, please.
Mm-hmm. 100%. It's just, okay. Totally random example within this, but if you're a Nebraska volleyball fan and you were watching the red white scrimmage this last weekend, Nicklin Hames was injured. It was just a really freak situation. She mm-hmm. kind of went up for a kill. And the way she came back down, she just landed funny. Mm-hmm. It sounds like what she ultimately did, at least from what John Cook later explained, was it sounds like she sprained her ankle. The thing that is tough with ankle sprains, because I saw a little bit of this on Twitter yesterday, was people not understanding, like, mm-hmm. wait, why is she going to be out for so long? I don't get it. This doesn't make any sense to me. The thing with ankle sprains is they can range from, they have so much range to them. Mm-hmm. Thankfully nothing is broken. Nothing is torn. So she should be back fairly quick. Like, it's mostly at that point, what John Cook said, is you're just dependent on the swelling and the strength to come back to the ankle. That's really what you're looking for at that point, is the swelling to go down, the strength to come back, and then you can start wrapping it and good to go. But you don't want to force things before someone's ready, because that is when you do break and you do tear things, is when, mm-hmm. when you push it too fast. Nicklin, who is tough as nails as well, was crying after that happened, because I'm sure it hurt like hell. Like, I'm sure that moment was really scary. It probably was like, my entire career could have just ended in this one moment. Thankfully that is not the case. But the thing is, I think most people get it, but I saw some people who are like, well, if it's just an ankle sprain. And it's like, ankle sprains can end careers at the same time. Like, we need to stop expecting people to work through something that they don't need to. In Nicklin's case, Nebraska has two backup setters who are able to step in and play in her spot. It's not worth putting her into potential harm's way because people expect to see her play.
Period.
She'll be back. She'll mm-hmm. be back. But like, this is the thing with injuries and sports and like people going, it's not that bad because it's something you can't see.
Right.
You end up finding out later, like, oh, Adrian Martinez had to have surgery on a throwing shoulder because there was something going on that people didn't see. Now, maybe you can make the argument he shouldn't have, like, maybe that he should have come out of the game sooner. But like, these are all things that like, sometimes you got to step back and go, I don't maybe see what's happening here.
You don't know the whole story.
It's just, it's hard. And I think women also in sports tend to get, kind of like beat up on, the sense of like, well, you're just making it up. You're just exaggerating what actually is happening. And
because heaven forbid we have something actually wrong. Like, my goodness.
It's just, I think about like, so there's so many women, and I really, really encourage you, either send us an email at mindyourownpodcast@hailvarsity.com or tweet at us. I'm at Erin Sorensen. She's at Sasha72. Let us know the women that inspire you in sports or people in your life. It could be your mom. If she has inspired you in some way, let us know, because I love to hear these stories, because we are absolutely not, but like, we have had so many episodes where we've talked about so many different women who have inspired us. We'd love to hear yours, because the one thing I want to spend a little bit of time talking about, because I think it's important, but fits within this too, is Amy, who has just inspired us in this episode in so many ways. She also included another part in here, which I think is important on so many levels, but especially when we talk about inspiration, it makes a huge difference. So I'm just going to read this little part from her email. sometimes when you talk about supporting women in sports, can you throw a shout out to the people who coach little kids? She is about to start on her third season coaching volleyball for her daughter, who's 11 years old. There are over 35 girls who they're still trying to find a team for because there aren't enough coaches. If we could get more people to volunteer a couple hours a week for a season, more girls could play. Last season, we won only one game. They had a lot of new players, and they are also so proud of themselves and excited, but they are still so proud of themselves and excited to come back and play each week, play again. She said it's the best couple of hours she spends of her week. Yes. If you have the time and capacity to be a coach,
yes,
but to coach a young women's team, a girls' team, please do it. Yes. And I'm looking at you women specifically. And that's not because the men listening to this, you can't. I know right. Many of you, like Sky, he just now knows he gets a shout out on another podcast.
Right.
I know that, like, I see a lot of you coaching and stuff, and I'm not telling you, don't do that. That's great. Keep doing what you're doing. But we do need more women to be coaches, because I often think about, like, when I see women become coaches in the NFL and people are like, oh, women didn't play football, so they don't know how to, they can't do this. But men have been coaching women's sports forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Representation matters. So when we have more women actively participating, coaching, being the women that we're talking about, being the, like, the models for these girls, these young women, it will be impactful. You will make an impact. And I'm going to tell you right now, I coached high school cheerleading. You don't even have to be the best to do it. I always joke that, like, those who can't do teach, I never ascended to my role of, like, where I thought, like, I could be as a cheerleader, but I mm-hmm. certainly loved helping others try to accomplish it. Yeah. So just because, like, you might be 5'1" and you never got to be a volleyball player because height that was not on your side does not mean you can't teach it.
Exactly. And I think too, like, I mean, I know you mentioned representation, but I do think it's super important to have, first of all, more women occupying spaces that normally mm-hmm. are occupied by men. But also just maybe one of those girls later on in life will not be tall enough, or maybe she just isn't good at the game or doesn't progress. Then maybe she knows, because she saw you as your teacher, that she can be that. If she loves that sport, that at least she can participate in some way and contribute in some way later down mm-hmm. the road, for sure.
Yeah, I 100%.
If you can see it, you can be it, folks.
Absolutely. So that's, you know, I think that's, like, the perfect place to just end this. If you can see it, you can believe it, you can do it. Go out and do something this week. Take care of your mental health. Like we talked about at the beginning of this episode, I understand there's a lot still. Like, the thing is okay, one last quick thing. Kacey Musgraves, I'm a fan of Kacey Musgraves. She's getting ready to release her new album in a couple of weeks. And she shared some things to Instagram. I got caught scrolling through her Instagram, and I got all the way back to when she released Golden Hour in 2018. And she's sharing this, like, excerpt of, like, why this album came to be. And there's this part that's like, there's so much happening, bad things happening in the world, that we could all use a little light. And I had this, like, realization in that moment that, like, there's always things happening, and mm-hmm. there are always things that we need to care about. Like, that is, I'm not in any way implying you should not care about what's going on in this world. Please keep caring, because that's how we make change. But my point is I think when we say things like world is kind of bonkers right now, the world is bonkers right now, but that it's always going to be bonkers. So put good energy out into the world. Keep supporting one another, supporting the good as much as possible, because, you know, like I said, I went and looked at that. I'm like, 3 years ago, she could have picked that caption up and put it today, and that would still work today. So don't let the world consume you. Don't ignore the world, but don't let it consume you. Go out and try to, like, do what you can to make a difference. Maybe that's going and signing up to coach somewhere.
Right. Exactly.
But we would love to hear from you, as always. You can email us at mindyourownpodcast@hailvarsity.com. Tweet at us at Erin Sorensen, at Sasha72. We're getting really, I think next or really close to 1 year.
Yes.
So we'll be celebrating, not sure how, but just get excited.
Yes, please.
It'll be awesome.
Maybe we could plan something.
We'll see. Everybody go get vaccinated.
Yes, please. Then we can hang out.
It's FDA approved. It's FDA approved.
Yeah. Then we can hang out and we can celebrate.
Well, we appreciate you as always. We will be back next week with another episode. Reach out. We want to hear from you, and we will talk to you later. I just keep saying thank you, so I'll stop. Yeah. All right. We'll talk
to you. Appreciate you. Bye.
A Huda Media Production.